This recording, Texas 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you only would expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Comma Comma, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire. So Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and to give her a relaxing bath. I was born in Mart, Texas, in a house, not in a hospital. And as many of my contemporaries were, Mart, Texas is a cotton farmland area at that time that was inhabited mostly by three ethnic groups. Number one, in which I belong to and come from, is pure Scots-Irish, the dominant ethnic group of Texas, and the dominant culture of Texas is essentially a Scots Celtic culture. And I was born into that. My grandfather was born in Texas at the same town in a wagon. His father was killed on a cattle drive, and his mother probably was a Cherokee squaw that he had picked up in East Texas before the Civil War. So that's on my mother's side. On my father's side, my great-great-grandfather came as a child to Texas in 1845. From Mississippi, Tennessee area. The Curleys came, was typical Scots that fleed the Battle of Arden, Culloden, came to the United States, fought in the Revolutionary War, started going west, and they were typical Scots-Irish frontiersmen. Part of the family came to Texas, another part of the family went to Missouri and started a clothing manufacturing store business. So my family were just poor Scots-Irish dirt farmers. In my community that Mart was raised in, we had Germans on one side of town that had farms generally, and the best farms the Germans had. The other side of town were the little not quite as nice of farms, were the Czechs. And then the majority of the people there were Scots-Irish, and then a large, about a third of them were black farm workers. So all of those three things contributed to the language, I think. But essentially the language is dominated by the Celtic, Scots, Irish way of thinking and talking. One of the things that is in small towns in Texas, and mine's the same way, is everyone has a nickname. Every single person nearly has a nickname, and that is just goes through the whole town. We had that's both black and white. One of the black guys was called the Shadow, and because he was so black. If you got these nicknames from things that happened to you as a child, and they were usually very embarrassing things, like a kid that whose nose ran a lot or had a lot of colds or stuff, he was called Booger. And he'd call Booger the rest of his life. One kid, they caught him eating bugs when he was a child. He was eating these little doodle bugs. And so for the rest of his life, his name was Bugsy. Hickey was a guy that had a big boil on the back of his on his butt. His name was Hickey Butt. My nickname was Gildersleeve. And that came from the way I laughed when I was a child, because there was a radio character named Gildersleeve on the radio in the 40s and 30s. And that's where my nickname came. And my family still called me that. So first thing is, everybody has a nickname.